Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up, and it is Tuesday, March 19th, 2019, in case you're wondering if this is a rebroadcast. And we are live today in studio. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, remember, our philosophy is we do have topics that we cover, and we invite you to participate with questions and comments. But also, we're always open for a change of topic. If there's something really bothering you, if there's something that you have questions about, maybe a current issue in your life, and you want to know what the Bible says, or you want to know what the right thing to do spiritually, we'd love to talk about that, okay? I mean, yes, we are, we've got topics, but you know what? Linda and I both agree that there's nothing like hearing from our audience and helping you deal with the issues that you're dealing with. Okay, we want, especially, what is it, the subtitle of this program is God's Word for Everyday Living. And you know, what are your questions? What are the issues you're dealing with? And I hope you're asking, what does God say about this? Rather than, what am I going to do? And what's the smart thing? What's the best financial? Wait a minute. Your question in solving every problem in your life and every obstacle you're dealing with should be, what is the will of God and what does the Bible say and how do I reconcile what I'm going through with biblical truth, okay? If you're looking for a tarot card reading or something weird, call it, you're on the wrong station, okay? If you're looking for God's will, biblical truth, what does the Bible say, and you know, we're going to be keeping it focused on Jesus, the Lord God Almighty in the Bible. Okay, so anyway, just a little heads up. If you'd like to call in, Linda's going to tell you all about that, the different ways that you could contact us. There's lots of ways you could communicate with us, so I'll let Linda tell you that.
Hey, that sounds just like our church, Calvary Chapel Eagle. We are keeping it all about Jesus. We've been making changes. We have more coming this weekend. I am loving it as the Lord is just stirring things up as we're seeing a spark of revival go through our church. Pre-service prayer, we had 15 people this week. That's kind of unheard of, and we love it because God's people should be praying. God's people should be caring and lifting up the service and the people and the word of God as it goes forth. So we are loving all of this. If you have a question you would like to pose to us, you can give us a call. Be live on the air with us. Come on. It's fun, folks. It's not scary. It's fun. That number is 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. If it's going to scare you away from asking your question to be live on the radio, then send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2635. And if you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, put in your comments. When it is appropriate, we do address those, okay? And sometimes there's things, if you see you put something up and we do not address it, know that it's either something we need to really think about, pray about. You just don't want to answer some things off the top of your head. Matter of fact, Jamie had put a question up, maybe even 2 weeks ago, that got us both talking and pondering things. And what do you do with this? Because it was a really good question. We couldn't answer it. And we don't want to be so aloof that we would answer a very serious question too quickly. Okay. We want to be able to give a godly answer. And some of the things I think we don't know, you know, some of the things with the way the world is going, I don't know what the right answer would be with that. I've had people tell me things, but, you know, I don't know what the right answers are. So, you know, if the Lord brings it about and gives us that right answer, then we may talk about it someday. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're switching to a brand new topic. We are going to switch to a topic of walk worthy. Okay, we've been going through the assurances of salvation. If you haven't heard those, go back, look up to Jesus.com. I was up all morning updating the page, getting the audios and videos on. And there was one day Facebook was down last week. I still haven't found where I put that video because we streamed live to YouTube. I may not have saved it right, but I do have the audio up. And that was a really good one because that was about you must be born again. It's really important. So we went from the nine assurances of salvation to the basic essentials of making sure you are saved, how you know you're saved. Okay, folks.
I know when I'm shaved.
I know you do. And you're a little fuzzy today, too. But now we're moving on to how do we walk this Christian life? How do we work? Ha ha. No, not work. How do we walk worthy of the calling that the Lord has put on our lives? Okay, there's things that the Lord does ask you to do. We are saved by grace through faith, but there are things that the Lord tells you to do. And I'll tell you, the first one he tells you to do is to love God above everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Everything's wrapped up in that. You know, he's telling us love. If we are his people, we have to be a loving people. So I know that one. And I don't know if I stole your thunder in any of your notes you got here, but you know, that's the first thing we can come up with off the top of our heads. Being not loving is not an option. We are to love as Christ loved us. So there we go. I'll turn it over to you because you know where you're going with this topic.
Yeah, actually, this is a study I put together years ago, and I was kind of looking through what are some of the topics that would be worthy, speaking of walking worthy, what would be some of the topics that are worthy of our time and attention that we could actually take a look at and talk with you over the radio? Because, you know, the body of Christ, even though we keep it simple, you know, like Linda said, we just covered, you know, how to be saved, how to have a relationship with God. It's all simple, basic stuff. But I don't know about you. I need to be refreshed with the elementary principles. You know, I love to be reminded of the simple, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I love to get back to basics, to go over the plan of salvation, to go over even things that are a little bit deeper, like the deity of Christ, the Trinity. But these are things that we can, you know, as time goes on, we get so caught up in other things, we forget and we'll go, how does that work again? And so Linda and I feel like it's good to go over that. Now, what we're going to be doing over the next day or two, we'll see how long this lasts, is we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm calling this series Walk Worthy because I think that there's a little confusion in the church today over what it takes to be a Christian. We've already covered that. But the confusion is, do I have to live right and that's what makes me a Christian? Or do I become a Christian and then I learn to live right? Yes, that's the right one, by the way. And we're going to clarify that for you all today and maybe the next couple of days. We'll see how long this study lasts. But again, my exhortation to all you who are listening is to be all that you can be for the Lord. I know that that's a be all you can be is a slogan that's been used in other ways. But I think that God has called you to a high calling. If you're a child of God, you're born again. The Holy Spirit is in you. You're filled with the Spirit. He has sealed you to the day of redemption with His Holy Spirit. And now, from now to the time He takes you home, you should be living to find your gifts and callings, find a way to live in such a way that brings glory to Him, live in such a way that you avoid falling into those typical pits of sin. I mean, we all have those weak spots. We all have things in our life that if I don't keep my guard up, I could fall into that pit, okay? And maybe something just came to your mind right now as I said that. Don't feel so inferior. We all have those pits. We all have those weak spots, those temptations. And I think what we need to do is just help it, let it keep us humble before the Lord because we will always need Jesus.
And I know it's so hard nowadays to walk that Christian life because you have so many in the so-called Christian world telling you God or Jesus died so you can be happy. No, Jesus died, and when we accept him, we died to ourselves so that we could live for him. So many Christians forget that they are to live a life that doesn't belong to them anymore.
Yeah, right.
They are living for God. They are living for his kingdom. They have a new master, not themselves, not the world, not the flesh. We have chosen to put ourselves under Jesus Christ as our master, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our everything. And it's when we try to hold on to our lives that we make ourselves miserable and we walk that fence because we don't genuinely just say, okay, I give it all to you, Lord. Whatever you want, whatever you say, wherever you direct, Lord, I'm yours. I want to do it your way because my way has really messed my life up. Mm. I can attest to that. Any more hands raised up out there? When we try to take over and we try to walk one foot in the world, one foot for the Lord, we get torn further apart. And I don't know about you, but I cannot do the splits, okay? It does not work. I'm most likely going to fall and fail in the middle because I'm not happy in the world. And then I'm not happy because I'm not genuinely giving everything to Jesus. We need to live for him and reckon ourselves as dead. And as dead, we don't have rights, okay? Our Savior runs our life and tells us what to do. And people, believe me, when we get there, it's the happiest place in the world to be. Because you've dropped all your expectations. You've dropped everything that you think, I deserve this and I deserve that. Because you realize if you ever got what you deserved, it would just be hell. I don't want that. So I will take, Lord, I will take anything you will give me. I will take the crumbs from the table. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord, you give me crumbs, I'll take the crumbs. But he gives me so much more. He gives me his righteousness and how worthy he is that we would give up our lives for him.
Yeah, amen. So again, this topic, Walk Worthy, again, the subtitle, what I would call this maybe is be all that you can be for the Lord and be who God made you. And what does that mean? Some people will run with it in the wrong direction. They just, they're excuse all their sins by saying, I was born this way. No, I'm not talking about all your natural, fleshy, carnal tendencies, because that's the sinful nature. That's why we have to be born again. Once you're born again, God gives you a new nature that you walk with him and you be all that he has called you to be. And so when I say be who God made you, okay, this is another one of my little pet peeves I'm going to get into before we even start Ephesians 4, because I believe that God has called us to be, you know, he's caused us to be born again. He's called us to be new creatures in Christ. He's done that work inside of us. And now we need to live as who he's made us to be. That is a child of God, born again, saints, okay? And what do you identify yourself as? Again, it's the old saying that kind of bugs me that people use way too much. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I understand the main heart behind that. You're trying to say is, I'm nobody special. I need Jesus. He's the Savior. I'm the sinner. He saved me. I understand that. And I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when you just identify yourself as just a sinner and that's who you are. That's your identity. Wait, stop. God has caused you to be born again. He's given you a new spirit. We've talked about that in the last couple of weeks and looking at what it means to be born again. He's put his spirit within you. He's given you his word. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so you've got to learn to take on a new identity. Me, am I a sinner? Well, I have sinned and I occasionally sin still, but the way I like to look at it, I think it's the biblical way. I'm a saint who occasionally sins. I think we need to adjust our attitudes as Christians towards sin, towards being sinners, and towards being saints. If you look at yourself as a born-again child of God with a new nature, you're a saint, then you're going to start living like a saint. You're going to start being who God made you to be. If you just surrender to the old, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, too many people use that as an excuse to live like just a sinner saved by grace. And what that often does is it excuses you from never rising up to be what God and all that God's called you to be. You just live like a sinner because, after all, you're just a sinner.
And folks, you know what? We can't rise up in ourselves. So don't ever, you know, fall for that one. It is the Holy Spirit living within us when we surrender our lives to Him and allow Him to direct our lives. That's how we raise up to be everything that God wants us to be. We don't work on, I'm going to be a better person. I'm just going to try so hard. I'm going to be a better person. No, you're not going to be a better person. You still live in a fleshy body. But you have the Holy Spirit of our God, our Father, our Creator, the one who made everything, living within you. That is all the strength you need. But you need to learn how to surrender to Him and let Him direct your life.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And let me just start. We're going to go slow here. Let me just start by reading verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, that's just a comma. We're going to keep reading here. But I want to catch that phrase, to walk worthy. You see, the Bible does tell us how to live. Some people think, oh, no, you just say the prayer and all the magic happens. Wait a second. You wouldn't need to read your Bible. If all you had to do is pray a prayer and God does all the work and does all the changing, you don't need to read your Bible. But the Bible's given to us so that we can understand, okay, I'm saved now. I'm a child of God. I'm a saint. How's a saint supposed to live? How's a child of God supposed to live? What does God want me to do? Speak to me, God. Show me the things I need to get rid of in my life. Show me the things I need to add to my life. I need some input here. Are you feeling that? I hope you are, because that's what the Bible's written for. And you can't just say, well, you know, if you pray the prayer and you're born again, God does it all. Well, He does. Because you can't raise the dead. You can't raise your own self from the dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. And when He causes you to born again, He does that. You can't do that, okay? But once you're born again, there are things He's asking you to do. And one of them in Ephesians chapter 4 says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And so the rest of the chapter is going to give us some description on what it looks like to walk worthy. Now, I like the way the New Living Translation puts that verse. It says, lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Okay, so we want to realize, okay, God, you're calling me to live for you. What does that look like? Show me the way and I'll walk in it. I hope that's your heart, because that's what the Bible was written to help you with.
You know, I want to point out here that he says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I don't know if you guys have been in jail or not.
Not me.
Well, I was one evening when I was 13.
True confessions.
Yeah, we were cruising the boulevard and the police caught us. And they
you weren't driving at 13, were
no,
you?
No, I was the youngest one in the car. And, excuse me, it was after a church thing. And we're just cruising the boulevard because that's what you did in South Gate. You cruise Tweedy Boulevard, and a cop pulled us over. We were the last one to turn around in the park, and so we got busted for driving through the park after hours. And all of our mommies got called and had to come pick us up, and we're all sitting in a jail cell. They put all us girls, we're all girls, like four or five of us, and we're singing Amazing Grace as we're just crying and everything. And yeah, until I pretty much got married and moved out of the house, I was had a curfew at 10 o'clock. I had to be home. It was bad. Okay, but back what I was saying.
Yeah, I was wondering where this was going.
In jail. Come on, don't you guys love little stupid stories like that? You know that you don't have rights. You do what they tell you when they tell you. You eat what they offer you. You get up when they tell you to. You go where you're supposed to go and all of that. That needs to be our outlook of our lives. Just like I was talking about before, we have died to ourselves, but we forget to recognize it. We think we're free to just go run through the world and do whatever we want. But we need to look that we are in bonds. We're captive. We are a prisoner to Jesus Christ, and we've willingly put ourselves there. That's the best part of it. If you're going to be a captive, Jesus is the best one to be under, okay? Because he does take care of his people, but he wants to make you productive. And that's part of it, is realizing really who we are, getting rid of our rights and what we think we deserve, and being willing to just openly, freely serve the Lord as he directs.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so listen, when we talk about walking worthy as a Christian in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, there are two very common mistakes that Christians make, and sometimes the cults are right in the middle of it all, and it's two extremes. On one extreme is the temptation to think that you have to earn God's love, you have to earn approval, and you have to act worthy, have worthy behavior in order to be accepted by the Lord. And that's a false concept. That's works salvation. That is like, God doesn't love me unless I'm doing everything perfect, or God can't save me unless I keep all the rules of my church or all the rules in the Bible, however your particular, you've been taught. We've all got background and baggage like this, okay? The thing is that God loves you, and Jesus died for you long before you were worthy, okay? Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means he didn't wait for you to get worthy. He didn't wait for you to get approval or do things right. If he did, he'd still be waiting. What God did is he took the first step, and he took the step that you could never take. Yeah. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, so that as you trust in him, he changes you from the inside out. And so when he says walk worthy, we got to get a few things straight here, okay? Because it's too easy to jump on the works salvation bandwagon, where you think you've got to earn God's favor and you've got to work for salvation. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 2:8-9, Titus 3:5. Lots of verses will tell you that. Okay. Now, the other extreme mistake that Christians can often do when we're talking about working or walking worthy is they have proper theology. They understand that I'm not saved by my works. It's all a gift of God. It's all by grace through faith. And they understand that. And then they think, That gets me off the hook. Now I don't have to live any special way. God already loves me, and it's all of God, and he died for my sins. And so since I'm chosen, I'm one of the elect, I'm one of the saints, then it doesn't matter how I live. See, there's two extremes, and both of them are false doctrine. One extreme says you have to work to earn God's salvation. Wrong. Jesus did it all. The other extreme says that since Christ paid for my salvation, I don't have to change anything in my life. That's wrong too, because if you just read the Bible, you see that the Bible is filled with commandments, exhortations, calls to believers to repent, calls to rise up to higher living. And I think really that's what it comes down to. We're born again. We have a new nature. We're a child of God. We're a saint. And then we spend the rest of our lives moving upward to higher standard of living. Amen. Because we're to rise up to be what God has caused us to be. Again, what did I call it? Be who God made you. Okay. And so God made you a saint. Start acting like a saint. God caused you to be born again. You're a child of God. Start living like a child of God. Okay. So that's the right way to look at it. That's the way the Bible teaches it. You don't become a child of God by keeping all the rules, and you don't excuse yourself from living a righteous life because now you're a child of God, and so you could just sin and God forgives you because anyway, it's not of me, it's of God. That's the other extreme. Beware of that and look for that. There are teachers out there. There are theologies out there that will take you to either extreme. Be on your guard against those things and don't fall for it. Okay. Now, Paul gives us a balance in the book of Ephesians of so much of how to, the proper way to look at all this. As a matter of fact, there's six chapters in Ephesians, and the first three chapters is all about what God has done for you. As a matter of fact, you might want to start reading through the book of Ephesians as homework. If you're one of our listeners and you plan on listening for the next couple days, that might be a great book to just start reading through and contemplating and meditating on it. Because the first three chapters, Paul just takes the time to explain what God has done for us. And then the next three chapters, chapters 4, 5, and 6, he says, okay, now that you've already heard what God has done for you, what should your response be? See, now that's the way the Bible's written. What God has done for you, and then just in case you don't know what to do next, Paul will give us, or Peter, James, John, all the different writers of the epistles will tell us, now here's what your response should be. So, first three chapters, what God has done. Next three chapters is what your response should be. So, what exactly has God done for you? Well, in chapter one, man, there's so much here, and I'm just going to rush through it. I wrote down a few things just for my own sake, so I could just have a few ideas here and not miss it. And I'm going to just rattle through them. Hopefully, I don't throw you off or anything. But in chapter one of Ephesians, we're told in verse 4 that we've been predestined. He chose us for eternal life. God did that. He predestined us. And in chapter 1, verse 5, we've been adopted as a child of God. He's made us his own. So that this is all what God has done for us. In chapter 1, verse 6, he made us accepted in the beloved. I probably should go back and look in depth, but I'll never get through. If I go back to chapter 1 and read it, then I want to preach on it, okay? But chapter 1, verse 6 said that he made us accepted in the beloved. You know what that means? You didn't make yourself acceptable. He made you acceptable. God washed you and cleansed you. He found you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He rose you up and he cleansed you and he made you to be a child of God. He did all that, okay? Now, another blessing is in verse 7 of Ephesians 1:7, that there's redemption and forgiveness in his name. Oh man, I need forgiveness and I'm glad he offers it. Redemption. You know, redemption is one of those things I talk often with people in counseling, because quite often we find ourselves in a situation where we feel all is lost. We feel like, you know what? This is, God's done with me. All is lost. And Jesus is the Redeemer. He could take your life when you think all is lost, when you think God is done with me, and he will redeem even your mistakes, even your sins, even all the things you did wrong. He's the Redeemer. And so he could bring forgiveness of sins, and then he could bring redemption. Again, another blessing in chapter 1, verse 11 says that God is in control. And that means you're not in control, but God is. And even when it looks like things are out of control, God is in control. Another blessing is in verse 12. It says that everything is for his glory. I think I need to scroll back there to just see how it's worded. And I over-scrolled. See, there's one thing about going from paper Bibles to your computer Bible. You could just give a nice spin. And I guess I better just type it in. Ephesians 1:12. And so let's look back at verse 11 says, in him also we've obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's the control thing. I wanted to take a look at that one because I know it's worded in such a way I was going to mess it up if I quoted it by memory. And so I like that phrase. Ephesians 1:11 says that he works all things according to the counsel of his will. That means when you think things are out of control, they're not out of control for God, okay? Now, I hear the music. That means we have a station break coming up. And I think I just got two more points on blessing in the first chapter, but we'll have to talk about that when we come back. Just hold on for 60 seconds. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Look Up airs every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you'd like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
All right, I was just looking back over that list. And again, if you're just joining us, we're just kind of reviewing that the first three chapters of Ephesians actually show us all the good things that God has done for us. And then the last three chapters of Ephesians pretty much is saying, now that God has done all that for you, what should your response be? And so I was reviewing some of the blessings that we received in the first three chapters. And we have chapter 1, verse 4, predestination, 1, verse 5, adoption, 1, verse 6, he made us accepted, 1, verse 7, redemption, verse 11, God is in control. And that's where we left off before the break. And I took some time to read that. But let's look at number six, which is verse 12. Verse 12 says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And so another thing that we need to realize is that everything God is doing in our lives is for his glory. And yes, there's times there's tragedy in your life. There's times there's sickness. There's times there's loss. But you've got to understand that if God is in control, he's doing something behind the scenes for his glory and, might I say, for your growth. Okay, he wants us to grow. He wants us to be all that we could be. But also, he's working his glory. See, we get messed up when we make it all about me. You know, if it's all about you, then life is not fair. You're right. Life is not fair. But if it's all about God, you realize that in the end, God wins, and everything that you think is not fair, everything that you think is just, this isn't right, well, you're right, it isn't right. But God is working an exceeding weight of glory far beyond our comprehension. He's doing a work for his glory. Matter of fact, it's the old Romans 8:28 verse that we all love to quote and memorize, but we don't like it when we have to live it. Is that, yeah. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now keep in mind, that means all things. That means even the ugly things, the tough things, the things that you don't like, God can cause those things in your life to work together for the good of those who love him and those who are the called according to his purpose. And so you've got to remind yourself, and boy, you know what? I always get nervous when I'm preaching on something like this because I think, oh, I'm going to get tested on this, you know, because the Lord always does. It's like whatever.
Haven't we been tested on this? We've been going through this test.
We have been, so. And we will continue to be tested, that when you claim a verse like Romans 8:28, you've got to really believe it, and then you've got to accept that when the things happen in your life that you don't like, you got to realize God is in control. He could take it and turn it around and use it for his glory and for your good. Not for your glory and his good, but for his glory and your good. Again, that's Romans 8:28. Now, let's look at another blessing found in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 13. And I'm just looking at a few things. Remember, the first three chapters of Ephesians is all about what God has done. I'm just doing a recap of chapter 1, okay? So, chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You see, that's the praise of his glory. And so it's just good to know that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit when we put our trust in Christ. You didn't seal yourself. Yes. You didn't make yourself be born again. God did it all. He just called out the gospel to you and says, come, and all who come to me, I will no wise cast out, he says. And all you did was hear the gospel and believe in the gospel. God did the rest, okay? Now, this Holy Spirit sealing, I do want to talk about it for a moment, because this is one of the blessings that until you understand what God has done to cause you to be born again and to seal you with his Holy Spirit, you can't appreciate the instructions. What am I to do? Because if you're not saved, if you're not really born again, you can't take the Bible as a rule book of how to live. You're going to fail, okay? You've got to first be born again. You've got to know that you're born again. You've got to appreciate what that means. And you got to understand that was all the Lord's doing. I'm a child of God. My new identity is a saint, a child of God. And now, Lord, help me to live like a saint. Help me to live like a child of God.
Because we don't have the power to do this on our own. If we don't have the Holy Spirit within us, we can't live what's being told for us, the response, what it should be, chapters 4-6. We've got to understand this first part, and it's what he's done for us, that only he's the one that makes us able to follow through on any of what those responses should be.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me give another Ephesians. Remember, I told you the first three chapters is all about what he's done for you. Let me just steal something from chapter 2, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, and this is Paul writing to those who are born again. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Hold on. There's something here that's jumping off the page at me here. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. You know, you don't see it all now, okay? There's two things that stand out to me in this verse. Number one is there's times it looks like a bummer. You know, Linda and I have been going through different challenges in ministry lately, and at first it just looks like this, what good is in this, you know, it doesn't look good. Okay. And so right now there's things that happen in our life that we just feel like, what good can come out of this? Right. But what Ephesians 2:7 is saying, that in the ages to come, when eternity begins to unravel before your eyes, you will see just how good God is. You don't see it all now. You don't understand it all now. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In kindness, that means you may not see all his kindness now. Oh, I hope you see some of it. I hope you do understand the how precious forgiveness of sins are. I hope you see how precious it is that God would stoop down and while you were yet sinner, Christ would die for you. I hope you see that now. But there's so much you don't see. There's so much about the kindness of Christ that will take eternity for us to see it all. Let me read that again and make sure you're getting that. That in the ages to come, I'm reading from Ephesians 2:7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What's exceeding riches of his grace? It means way more than you ever imagine. You just don't, it's kind of like a rich kid who doesn't realize how rich he is, you know. I think that's how we are as Christians. We don't realize, hopefully we're not spoiled brats, but we don't realize all that we have in Christ. And you know what? I think we're going to have lots of reasons to worship and praise God in eternity, because as the succeeding riches start to come out, we start seeing things we didn't see in the flesh, we didn't see in our life on earth. We're going to start seeing more and more as we spend time with Jesus in eternity. And we're going to go, whoa, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. I didn't realize that. You know, folks, you're never going to run out of reasons to praise God throughout eternity.
You know, that's one reason that we do this program and we go out Facebook Live. We have a YouTube channel and all of this. It's just two people sitting in a room here talking to each other. And we don't know where the Lord is going to take this. We don't know what word we may say that will affect a person's life, that the Lord will use something we say and it is exactly what this other person needed to hear, and they feel God just spoke to them. Okay, we're just open, Lord, in obedience, we do this to him. Where he wants to take it, what he wants to do with it, that is his choice. Now, That's all of our lives. We never know with what we do, who we reach out to, who we're kind to, who we invite to church, who we go help when they need it, how that is going to affect somebody's life for eternity. We don't get to see those things. Most of the time, it looks like what we do is for naught. It matters nothing to anybody. But I know that is not the truth, okay? And we need to know that. God uses what we do for Him. And He takes it. He can take it wherever He wants to. Even the things like down to us going ahead and putting Tawny's funeral on Facebook. Thousands of people watched that funeral and the gospel was preached. Mm-hmm. It went everywhere. Mm. It went everywhere just because at the last minute, we made a decision to go ahead and make ourselves vulnerable and put that up there. And mainly we did it for the people back in California that knew her that couldn't be here. We had a purpose, but we don't know what God's purpose is, the finality of it. All we know is He put it on our hearts and we were willing to do it. Believe me, I don't want somebody seeing me that broken, that weak. But it's okay because God can use that. So everything we do, folks, it goes out for His glory. And it may look like we're not accomplishing anything. But if it's what the Lord has told you to do and you're doing it for His glory, you keep doing it. You don't always get your rewards here. Sometimes you got to look towards heaven. And then, like it says here, you're going to understand eventually. And is it really going to matter? Because we did it all for the Lord. Yeah. So that's all I had. There's my little sermonette. So.
Okay. Listen, let's look at a few more verses in Ephesians chapter 2. Because since the first three chapters are filled with what God has done for you, I think we need to lay that down as a foundation before we get into walk worthy. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You don't want to just talk about, okay, walk worthy. That could sound very legalistic and work salvation oriented. But I want you to know what God has done first.
Yes.
And that He's changed you. He's made you new. He's given you salvation. And now that He's given you what He's given you, what should your response be? And, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, where I left off in verse 8, is that famous verse most of you have memorized, or at least should have memorized. It says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." And so this is a famous passage of Scripture that every Christian should at least understand. And I think you should also memorize it, okay? Memorize it, your favorite translation. I just quoted it from probably King James because that's where I did most of my memorization before I started using a few other translations. I'm currently using New King James, which there's a lot of great translations out there, folks. So don't get stuck thinking this is the right one and the other ones are wrong, okay? That's another fun thing that people get into. So for by grace you have been saved. Now I'm going to read it from New King James. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And I was just reviewing some of the commentators on that verse, and one of my favorites says that what's not of yourselves? A lot of people say, well, grace is not of yourself. Of course, grace is not of yourself. It's unmerited favor of God. Faith is not of yourselves. I think that maybe the faith is something that comes from me because I believe and I that's my response. But I believe what is not of myself, the subject of this whole topic is salvation. Salvation is not of yourself. You cannot save yourself. God gives you His unmerited favor. That's called grace. And all He asks of you is to believe Him. And then He does the work. Okay, now listen, I've told you before, and it's one of my little theories, is that just like in the Garden of Eden, man and woman, Adam and Eve, fell away from God by not believing God. They fell away from God by believing the devil rather than God. Satan says, "You shall not surely die if you eat of this fruit. Did God tell you you're going to die?" And they start believing the devil, and it led to all kinds of problems. I believe God made a way back, that I want you to believe me. And it's by grace you've been saved through faith, through believing what Christ did on the cross for you. He died for your sins. He rose again. The way back to God is through the cross of Jesus Christ, and it's all done for you there. And then he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's verse 9. And that means if you are saved Anybody who is saved is not saved because you earned it. You're not saved because you deserve it. You're not saved because you made yourself worthy. Okay, if we're going to talk about walk worthy.
Or you're a good person.
Yeah.
So many people think they're going to heaven because it's a good person.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so not of works, lest any man should boast. It's funny that Paul had to put that in there, that lest any man should boast, because that's what happens in religion.
Yes.
That's what happens in the cults even. After you've got the system down, you actually think you've got something to brag about. You actually begin to feel like, you know what? I think I've got this down. You know, I've got this God thing down. I keep all the rules. And it becomes an arrogant stumbling block to stop you from really being saved, because you think you're keeping the rules. You think you're right with God because you jump through all the right hoops of your church, your denomination, your cult, whatever you're in. And you're deceived into thinking that you've somehow attained right standing with God. You cannot be right with God on your own standing. As a matter of fact, all through Galatians, all through Romans, through several of the books in the New Testament, we're told that there's a righteousness that comes, it's of faith, by faith, and it's from God. And we're going to be talking about that in Philippians, as we've just started the book of Philippians on Sunday morning, and we're going to be talking about that salvation is not of yourselves, not your own righteousness that comes from obedience of the law, but righteousness that comes from God and is of faith.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to start in with the book of Philippians? It did an intro this last week. You can come join us 10 a.m. at North Star Charter School. We're going to be getting into, you know, who we really are in Christ, that it's not us. It's all about Him. And that's what our church is about. It's all about Jesus. Commercial. There you go.
Okay. Well, one of the things before we get off of this Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, I really want to point out, it is one of my favorite sections about how salvation works, because it actually explains, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 explains that salvation is not something you attain. It's not something you earn. It's not something you could boast about. It's all by grace through faith. It's not of your work, it's of Christ's work on the cross, lest any man should boast. But then verse 10, I always like to add verse 10, because that shows the proper balance. When we're going to be talking about walking worthy before the Lord, you don't make yourself worthy before God. He makes you worthy, and then you walk like who you are. He makes you a saint, and then you begin to live like who you are, a saint. He causes you to be born again, and God makes you to be a child of God, and then you start learning how a child of God should live. You see what I mean? You don't become a child of God because you live like a child of God. You don't become worthy because you've started living worthy. He makes you worthy, and then you learn how to walk worthy. I hope you're getting it. I'm repeating myself,
well,
but I hope you're getting it.
Well, you know, it kind of goes like you don't become part of a family just because you decide to change your name.
Good point.
You have to legally be adopted into that family to really be a part of them. Anybody could change their last name to Sasso. Doesn't mean they're part of our family, okay? It takes that adoption that we talked about already, that He adopted us in. So it's, you don't just act like a Christian. Become a real Christian, and then you won't be able to help but to act like a Christian.
And God enables you to live the way you're supposed
to live.
Yeah, He
does, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so again, this verse 10, I want to make sure you get this, because after you're saved, after you're born again by grace through faith, just simply by trusting Christ, that's how you're saved, then verse 10 gives you the other side of it, the balance of it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's like you get saved, and then you learn to walk the way God's called you to live. Live the way God's called you to live. Let me read that carefully. Matter of fact, I should look at another translation, but I think it says it all quite nicely here. It says that we are His workmanship, meaning He's the one who did the work in you. He's the one that caused you to be born again. And we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let me stop there for a second. We're not created, born again, caused to be a child of God because we did good works. But He called you, saved you, gave you new nature, caused you to be born again, so that now you could live a good life. Now you could live like a child of God because he made you a child of God. Now he's called you to good works. Oh boy, people always miss this and they always get it wrong. They think, if I could only be good enough to be a Christian, if I could only get my act together. You can't get your act together. You need Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again. You put your trust in him and realize he paid your price to heaven. He paid the price so that you could be forgiven of your sins. You surrender to him as your Savior and Lord. Trust in him to save you. He causes you to be born again. And then he says, now he raises you up on your feet and says, now I'm going to enable you. I'm going to give you a new nature, cause you to be a child of God, and help you to live a good life now. That's the only way. Again, read it one more time. For we are his workmanship.
Take a drink of water.
Yeah. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved now for good works, which God before prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I hope I'm not rambling on and you're missing the whole thing, because this is one of my pet peeves I think a lot of Christians miss. They're always trying to be good enough rather than realizing you are not good enough. He saved you, cleaned you up, give you a spirit, and now he wants you to learn to live like who he made you to be. Okay? I hope I'm making that clear. Did you have something,
hon? Oh, I was just going to ask you, is this one of those scriptures where people come up with, God has this wonderful plan for your life?
Well, I don't know what they're thinking when they say that, maybe. I think the wonderful
because
plan is that, to get saved.
Yes, I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But I think things like this, it's like God has a plan. It's almost like he doesn't wait to see, well, okay, that one accepted me, so now they get to do this, and that one accepted me, so now they get to do that. But I think he does have a plan for each one of us.
Yeah,
and I
does.
Think things don't get done because some people never bother to come to him or surrender their life to him. Or if they do get saved, they're not willing to follow through and sacrifice their life, surrender their life to him to actually follow through what God has planned. Part of me, you know, it just makes me wonder if Christians would do what Christians are supposed to, would the world be in such an ugly place? I know sin and Satan rules this earth, but, you know, Is there pieces that are missing because the body of Christ is not stepping up and being who they should be?
Well, that's a good point, and maybe there's a
We're just doing a question
here. A little side topic here is, you know, the Bible does talk about abiding in him and you'll bear much fruit, and there are theologians who argue about how much of your life is just predestined, that God made you to be that way. I really believe, and I think you could bear it out through scripture. I'm not prepared to lay out all the verses on it right now, and you could just dig it out in the Bible on yourself. I believe that we're all born again and called to a higher ground and called to do good works, which God has before prepared beforehand. But how much fruit we bear in our life, I think it's dependent upon the degree in which you abide in Christ. John 15 says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you bear much fruit. You know, you can't be fruitless if you're abiding in Christ. You will bear much fruit. But I think yes. If you read John 15, you'll see there is an option there that to the degree you're abiding in him, to the degree you're yielding to the Lord and surrendering to him, reading his word and saying, Lord, help me to live this, to that same degree, your life will be fruitful or fruitless. And I think it is even the Christian's option to decide to actually backslide. What the reason why people backslide isn't because God predestined them to backslide.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
The reason why people don't bear fruit isn't because, well, it was in God's plan that they would get saved and then not bear fruit and just kind of lay dormant the rest of their life, but they'll go to heaven. No. God's plan for every one of us is that we bear much fruit and that we rise up and be all that we could be. The problem is we do have a free will involved in here, okay? We have a choice, and to the degree you yield to Christ, to the degree you abide in him, to that same degree, you will bear much fruit. Now, you don't save yourself. He saves you. But I think he gives you some choices and commands and exhortations all through the word. Like I said, if it was all automatic that you just say the prayer and now you're born again and God does the rest, we wouldn't have the Bible. We wouldn't need the Bible because you don't need to read anything. You don't need to do anything. God's just going to automatically make you rub it and it's all predestined. No, there's some choices there that you make every day that will affect how much fruit you're going to bear for him, how much of your time today you're going to give to him. You could waste the rest of your day if you want. You could turn the radio off right now and say, you know what? I'm going to do something naughty, you know? I'm going to do something I probably shouldn't do, so I'm going to turn the radio off, and I'm going to do, and you pick your favorite sin. To that degree, you know, that free will involvement there will cut off the fruitfulness in your life. It'll cut off fellowship with the Lord. You won't experience his presence, his power. Why are some Christians so effective in ministry and others aren't? Don't give me that, well, they were just called to effective ministry and I wasn't. No, we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. We're all called to be fruitful unto the Lord. But to the degree you yield to Christ, to the degree you abide in Christ, to that same degree, your life will bear much fruit. Read carefully John chapter 15. I'm not going to go there right now because we're somewhere else. We're in Ephesians. But I want you to look at a couple other verses in Ephesians 2 before our radio show ends here. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." How have we been brought near? Well, I joined the right church. No, it has nothing to do with joining the right church. How were you brought near? Well, I just started to do all the right things. No. Now, you could abide in him or not abide in him. You could walk in his will or live in disobedience. But the way you were brought near to God was through the blood of Jesus Christ, period. Okay? You got to get that straight because that's what the Bible says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, and we were once, all of us were once afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I want you to understand this. The only thing that brings any of us near to God is the blood of Jesus. You're not right with God. You don't feel like you're right with God. You need to get right with God. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to wash you in his blood, and you will be brought near because that's the only way to be brought near to him. We'll pick up here tomorrow. I can hear that the music is playing. And so, Lord bless you. Thank you so much for listening in today. And I trust that the Lord is speaking clearly to you. Anyway, God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup@cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to you.